Good afternoon, everyone. It's very good to see you. I'm glad you are here. It's good to be with you today. Have you ever been in a situation where you have to take over a job that someone before you has done a really good job at? You're the replacement coming in. And for the most part, everybody liked the person before you, and they performed their work with great efficiency, and now there you are, the one who is supposed to be the new them. That can be kind of uncomfortable. And that can be high because people already have expectations of who you are and what you should be able to do. In fact, you might be tempted to say, no, I don't want that job. But sometimes you don't have that option to say, no, that's your job to do. You have to take over that. And so you may want to at least try to seek some good advice from someone who is in the know. But it might even be that that person who was in the job before you is not there anymore. You can't ask them. And so you're left wondering what to do. I wonder how Joshua felt. You remember who was before Joshua? Moses. For 40 years, Moses had led the children of Israel. Now, Joshua was there, the right hand of Moses, but it's not the same. Now Moses is going to be no more, and Joshua is taking over in that role. Moses had been that chosen one of God, the one who had led the children of Israel all the way from bondage in Egypt there to the foot of the Jordan. But, again, Moses is no more. And Joshua is the one who is now the leader of God's people. Well, fortunately, someone came along to help Joshua out. And to say that his task was formidable would be to say the least. It wasn't just the idea of crossing over the Jordan River, but everything else that went with it and all that was going to happen once they crossed over that river, leading the people and commanding the army and taking over all the cities in the land and inspiring spiritual diligence on top of it all. These are all things that Joshua had to do, and it must have seemed overwhelming to him. But at the same time, there was someone that Joshua could turn to. It wasn't Moses, but it was the Lord. It was the Lord who tried to inspire confidence in Joshua from the very beginning that he was there and he would be with him always. We're turning to Joshua chapter 1. I'd like you to look with me to Joshua chapter 1. Here is some very simple advice that God gave to Joshua. We begin reading the first 5 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from that great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a simple passage, but man, there's some powerful things said right there. When you think about the words of the Lord to Joshua, the promises, these were promises that God was giving to Joshua. No one will be able to stand against you. That's a big promise. But God was right. God had the power and the ability to make that promise and to follow through. No one will be able to stand against you. And as long as the children of Israel were willing to listen and to follow what the Lord said, no one could stand against them. God will be with him. That's what the Lord said. I'll be with you just as I was with Moses. And we know how God was with Moses. I mean, the record is incredible. How Moses walked with the Lord, or we could say the Lord walked with Moses. He never left him. And the close relationship that Moses had with God. God said to Joshua, I will never fail you. I'll never forsake you. How reassuring that would have been to Joshua. And then God commanded Joshua on what he needed to do. I mean, those first five verses there tell us about the promises of God. Here's what God intends to do with and to do for Joshua. I will be with you. But then in verse 6 beginning, some things that Joshua needed to do. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. All right, now let's think about what the Lord said to Joshua. Here's what you must do. Be strong and courageous. To stand for what God expects may not be easy. For us to take a stand for what God wants us to do and how He wants us to live, well, that's often going to put us at odds with everyone that may be around, for those who do not care about Jehovah God. But to stand for what God expects is what God wants and expects us to do. That's what He was telling Joshua. The weak and the scared will not make it. The feeble of heart will falter. They'll turn around. But even the weakest can be strong when walking with God. Remember the promises of God to Joshua that He would be there. He would never be left alone. And so when the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, He can do so in such a way that Joshua has confidence, has assurance that in fact the Lord will help him to do that. Well, it sounds like an overwhelming task. Remember the view. They're looking at the Jordan River. You know, and they're having to cross over, and there's this land to conquer. There are enemies on the other side. But if God is on your side, there is nothing that is overwhelming. What a blessing to have God with us. And that was part of the message to Joshua. We need to listen to, and we need to take the advice that God gave Joshua. Be strong and courageous. And be careful to obey the law. This is speaking of the law that God gave to Moses, to obey all of it. Do not vary from it to the left or to the right. How many times did God say to Moses, or through Moses to the children of Israel, to remember His law, to accept it, to obey it, to live it? And as long as they did that, God was with them. But, you know, success can only be found in obedience to the Lord, and it's no different with us today than it was with Joshua. The challenge, once starting down that path, it's easy for some to say, well, sure, we're going to follow. Yes, we're going to listen. Okay, we're going to obey the law. Well, that's easy when we start down that path, but there will always be obstacles that come that make it a little more difficult. Staying with it can be the challenge. Endurance and consistency. And examples abound of those who started out with God's help, those who were willing to submit to God's will, that somewhere in the story made that turn to the left or to the right. Notable folks even. King Saul. What happened to King Saul? One that was chosen by God to lead His people, but somewhere down the road, King Saul got feeling a little bit too good about himself and made that turn to the left or to the right and was no longer walking with the Lord, and life changed in dramatic ways. King Solomon. Always the harder one for me to understand. What happened to King Solomon? He had been blessed in so many ways by God and started out earlier in his life devout and dedicated to the will of God. But by the time the end comes, Solomon had made many decisions to the left and to the right that were far, far from where God would have wanted him to be. You know, it doesn't matter if you think you're somebody. Maybe that's part of what happened to Solomon or Saul. It doesn't matter if you think you are somebody, you still have to obey God. It's his will that has to be held on to. Look at a couple of passages. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. It's one of those easy passages for us just to keep in mind. That in such a very simple way reminds us of staying with what God says. Our confidence has to be in him. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. There's truth in that. There's happiness, it seems. There's contentment. There even seems to be well-being when we're willing to submit to what God says. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, toward the end of that chapter, verse 24 is where we begin. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. This is the words that Moses was penning, where he says, "The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case of today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, he has commanded us that will be our righteousness." God was serious about to obey all of the law that he had commanded. And for us to obey what God says is for our own good. Be careful to obey the law. In the text, what God told Joshua was, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." I know it kind of sounds a little strange phrase that's being used, "Do not let it depart from your mouth." But I think the idea is that it is all we can speak about. That it would be no surprise to anyone, God certainly, about what comes out of our mouth. But what comes out of our mouth is that which is consistent with His will and His Word. That when we talk, that we need to sound like the children of God. That His Word should never be far from us in what we say and in what we do. And that it is always obvious that we are His people. The instructions for Joshua and to the people were to be from God's Word. Instructions should come from no other source, and that they were to meditate on it day and night. That is the simple instruction that God gave to Joshua. Do not let this law depart from your heart and from your mouth. Sometimes I'm afraid that that's a challenge for us, because there's a lot of things that come from our mouths. And that which is to come from Joshua's mouth was the Word of God. He was that harbinger of truth. He was the spokesman of God that Moses had been for all of that time. And so when Joshua stood up before the people, it would be expected by them that what Joshua had to say was the will and the words of God. Emphasis is being placed on the power of that Word. Not that it was from Joshua, but that it was God's Word coming from His mouth. And the necessity of it being God's Word. You know, it has always been truth in God's Word that has the power to save us. Jesus would talk about the same thing, that we should be made free by truth. God's Word is truth. And that it's that Word, it's that truth that would save us. No other source has the power to save us. It seems to me sometimes that there's a lot of reading of books that are penned by men that tell us some things that are spiritual points, you know, so-called spiritual books that have a quaint way or a beautiful way or sometimes eloquent way of saying some things that sound spiritual but are not really sound biblical teaching. I mean, that can happen in the words of men, whether it's in pen or words that are coming from the mouth. There were false prophets that came along during biblical times, and I'm convinced we still have those today, that spoke in such a way that sounded good to the ears of men, but the words that they were speaking were not from God. Again, the emphasis that God is trying to place upon Joshua here is that the words that come from your mouth are the ones that have to be sound for hearing, words that are that do not depart from my law. There are certain contrasts that we can see in Scripture sometimes, like the prophet Samuel, and then there's King Saul on the other hand. You had the prophet Samuel, you had King Saul. One had the Scripture. One had integrity and holiness and the power which can only be found in the Word of God. And the other was tall and impressive looking and had the ability to lead men. There were two very different paths that came from those two men. One continued in a righteous course, and the other moved far away from God and took others with him. We can be led from the words of God. We can be led in a path that is righteous and holy, in a path that will lead us closer to God, or we can hear other words that lead us in a direction far from God. What God was saying to Joshua, do not let the law depart from your mouth. Don't move far away from the law. And there's application, of course, that we can make with that too. We can be led by the words of God, or we can be influenced by the words of men. Which will it be? And elders and preachers and teachers that have influence and leadership, and every Christian as far as that goes, needs to listen to these words. Do not let the law depart from your mouth. That was the advice that God gave Joshua, and we should hear the same words. And to meditate on it day and night. Joshua was expected to study and to focus, to think about, to be concerned with that word of God, and to use it and to speak those words of God. And it was obvious that he did. He knew it and that he was obedient to it. You know, Joshua was a very busy man. When you stop and you think about the job that he took over, you know, he was there to lead the people, you know, more than a million in number. And even that, you know, with over a million people that were subject to the words that he were saying as he spoke for God, God was still telling him that he had to meditate on the words of God day and night. I mean, when you want to talk about a busy man, Joshua gets the check mark. He's the one that was busier than any. And yet there was no pass given him with regard to taking time to study and to meditate upon the will and the word of God. I mean, he was a general of 600,000 men that he was going to lead into battle, and that wasn't excuse enough for him to not take the time to study God's Word. And Joshua was busy. But God was saying to him, you're not too busy to meditate on my Word. There's probably some lessons learned in that for us. I mean, we are busy people. But we have no excuse and no reason that we can walk away from meditating on God's Word. I hear it all the time, though, and there's some people who say, I don't have enough time to study. Well, there's time to study, but there may not be enough time to do all of the work that we want to do, and there may not be time to play all the ball we want to play, or to hang out with all the friends we want to hang out with, or to watch all the TV that we want to watch. But there's time to study. There's time to read the Bible every day in our daily Bible reading. But we're going to have to prioritize our life in such a way that we can do that. If Joshua was not too busy to meditate on the words of God, then I know I have no excuse. But I can't say I'm too busy. It seems like this is what God was telling Joshua. You're not too busy to remember my words. Sometimes we have to be careful about redeeming the time. you know, using our time in a wise way. Ephesians chapter 5 says something about that. The redeeming of time. I mean, it's in the context of the Apostle Paul reminding Christians about our walk, our day-to-day walk, that if we are to be followers of God as dear children, he begins in chapter 5, that we have to walk in love, that we have to put away from us any kind of sin that we might struggle with, that we should not be easily deceived by those who come along with empty words. He goes on to say that we were once in darkness, but we're not now. Now we are walking in light. So what does that mean? And what is that going to require of us? In verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And he goes on to warn against being unwise, but instead increasing our understanding in the will and the Word of God. Indeed, redeem the time. Be wise with our time. And I can only imagine, when it came to time management, Joshua was one that understood that and had to be on top of that always, and so do we. And then, we have to be careful to do everything that is written. That's what God told Joshua. To be careful that you do everything written in that word. You know, the Apostle Paul would talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, that we should study to show ourselves approved in such a way as to not be ashamed before God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, it's a passage there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that places emphasis on the idea that we have to work and prepare ourselves to know His word. But it also, with it, brings a warning that if we can learn to rightly divide truth, there is of necessity the ability to wrongly divide it, to use it in such a way that's wrong. And God's instruction to Joshua was to do everything written in the Word. And that would tell us as well that we have to put our eyes on the Word and take it and put it in our heart. You know, it's one thing just to know words. It's another thing to know the Word of God and to do it. James said, "Be hearers, be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word." And in James chapter 1, take that will and that word of God and to do something with it. You know, it's one thing to be able to quote verses. It's another thing to be able to quote verses and live by them. And it seems that's the idea of what God is saying to Joshua. You know, there they were preparing to cross over into the promised land. And one day we too will cross over. We'll go from this life to that which is beyond, and if we want to spend eternity with God, then we best take the advice that God has given. We better listen to the words that God has spoken. We better make application in this life to taking those words to heart and living them in our life. And if we will, God will be with us, and He will bless us, and He will keep us forever, even as God promised Joshua and the children of Israel. And we need to remember that God's blessings come by way of His discretion, not ours. And His way requires that we are guided by His Word and that we live by His Word. And so if we're seeking good advice on what we need to do, we need to listen to the advice that God gives so that we can understand and know His will. And if we will just choose to live by it, we can be considered His own. It is always right to follow God's will. And I realize we live in a different time. We live under a different law than Joshua lived under. But the principles are all the same. That God expects us to obey His will, to be moved by it, and to be moved by it in such a way to obey it now. That's what we have to choose to do. And maybe we need to make that choice. Maybe there's one that's been struggling with the idea of just simply obeying what God says. We want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. If you stand outside the Lord, then we want you to be on the inside. We want you to be identified as one who is, in fact, a child of God. One who has been baptized for the remission of sins, for the removal of those sins. One who is recognizes a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if we struggle, as we all do from time to time, struggle in this life, and sin gets in the way of that relationship that we might have with God, repent of our sins. Pray forgiveness. Can we help you in some way in your relationship with God? You need to respond. Would you come now as we stand and sing?